Welcome to the Microsoft IT Pro Podcast, a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life. Each week, we'll discuss a different topic or recent news related to Office 365 and Azure and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. The MS IT Pro Podcast is never longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started. Good morning, Scott. How are you doing today?
Morning, Ben. I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. A little tired, but I think we both stayed up way too late last night doing different things.
Yeah, it sounds like you were working and I was playing video games, so my night was way better than yours.
Yes, you definitely had a much better night than I did. So what are we talking about today?
Today, we are going to talk about this just real barn burner of a subject. It's going to be Office 365 SKUs and licensing, or really SKU packs for those in the know.
Oh, licensing is my favorite. Everybody loves licensing, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's kind of important. You need to have it or else you're not on the platform.
Exactly. So do we want to start? Let's just go over an overview of kind of the different categories of licenses you can buy. I know there's two different levels. First, you kind of have those high-level categories, and then within each of those categories, sometimes you have different plans.
Yeah, so at that top level, you've got effectively consumer and non-consumer plans. So if I go to, you know, a major retailer, I go to Best Buy, and I buy a new computer, and I come home, and I say, I want Office, or I want a OneDrive consumer account. I can just go to Microsoft, and I can buy that. And I'm actually buying that through an Office 365 home subscription. That's probably the first biggest one. I think people always forget there's consumer stuff in Office 365 as well. And then after that, you step over into the more business-oriented SKUs, so the actual business SKUs, enterprise, education, NFPs, not-for-profits, government, things like that.
Yeah, I know I have a home plan too. My wife and I use that. So we have that for some of the home stuff, some of the stuff on her computer, sharing the OneDrive stuff in there. That's great. Again, it's something you can go out and look at. I think today we'll probably focus more on some of those business ones, but we did. We wanted to let you know that those home plans, those consumer plans are available. In my opinion, they're a really good deal for what you get as part of them.
Yeah, I mean, for $100 a year, you can get an Office 365 home plan for up to 5 users. And then every user gets their own Office applications and services as well. So each user would get a terabyte of storage in a consumer OneDrive account. They would get access to Skype supports and chats and things like that. And I think they also get about an hour per month for each of the users, which is pretty good.
Yeah, I think you're right on that hour per month for Skype. The OneDrive is great. I love that one. Because like you said, it's not 1 terabyte to share across your 5 users. Each user you share it with gets a terabyte all to themselves. So I get a terabyte, my wife gets a terabyte. If I share it with a couple of kids, they each get their own terabyte. That's a lot of storage.
Yeah, you gave your 2-year-old a plan, huh?
Yeah, she's has lots of pictures. She loves taking pictures with our phones.
Perfect. See, there's a plan for everybody.
There is. So a little bit more into those more corporate plans. Once you get within there, like you said, you have your enterprise plans, you have your business plans, you have your education plans, government plans, all kind of focusing on different market segments. With your business plans, you have kind of 3 plans. You have your Office 365 business that pretty much just includes your desktop apps. That includes Outlook, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, OneNote, Access, and Publisher to use on your desktop, and then includes that OneDrive for business. The next kind of level, I would call it, is the business essentials plan. And that's kind of the exact opposite of that 365 business plan, where it includes all the online stuff, but none of the desktop stuff. So it includes Exchange, SharePoint, OneDrive for business again, Skype for business, Microsoft Teams, Yammer. So you can use all of that stuff in your browser, store files, do your email, whatever you need to in the browser, but you don't have any of those desktop plans. And then if you want all of it, you want both the desktop and the web version, they have that 3rd plan, that's that business premium, that includes all of the desktop applications that were in the business plan, and then all of the online services that were in that essentials plan. So kind of depending on what you want to do, I know some people only want to do stuff in the browser, some people just need those desktop licenses, and sometimes you just want the whole gamut of products. And these plans really are geared at those small businesses. The biggest limiting factor that I see when I use these and start talking to clients about these is that you can only have 300 of any one of these plans within your tenant. So if you have more than 300 users that need any one of these, you're immediately going to rule yourself out from the small business plans. Kind of an interesting caveat to that is it's 300 of each. So technically, I can have 300 Office 365 business plans, 300 business premium plans, and 300 business essentials plans, all within the same tenant. Again, you're just going to get different features, different services, different products available to your users based on how they're all licensed in that tenant.
Yeah, it's one of those things. So I like to say friends don't let friends buy anything that's not an eSKU. Just because you're going to run into weird limitations like that, whether it's a limit on the number of users that I can have subscribed. So 300 users for SKU Pack A, SKU Pack B, SKU Pack C, things like that. Or sometimes it's even harder to grow in and out of services. In some cases, you know, it's just easier to change plans in an eSKU to go from something like an E3 to an E5 and then maybe back to an E3 later. Where in the small business SKUs, it's a little bit harder to do things like that. The other thing that you mentioned, so you kind of walked through and you mentioned Office applications and availability of those applications. So access to the desktop versions, the click to runs, or the web interface, right? You got to be careful with the web interface ones too, because if you do things like the business essentials SKU, and that just comes with Exchange Online and Outlook Online, you are really going to be limited to that. So if you think, well, I already have perpetual licenses for Outlook, those licenses only enable certain features on the mailboxes. So things like Active Sync are going to be turned off. So you're going to have to go through a web browser to go ahead and get at it. So that could even impact things like being able to hook up your mobile device to your mailbox. Kind of important in this day and age. So you've really got to think about all that.
Yeah, it's a lot to take into consideration. And I totally agree about buying e-plans. Back when I first started with Office 365, it was even more so the case. A good friend of both of ours told me when I was starting out, he's like, don't ever buy the business plan, because back then you couldn't even change from a business plan to an enterprise plan. It was, outgrew my business plan, I want to go to enterprise. I have to actually go buy an enterprise and do a full-scale migration from business to enterprise, migrate everything from the old tenant to the new tenant, shut down the old tenant. It was a pain. Fortunately now, at least you can do that switch. You can switch from a business plan to an enterprise plan without a brand new tenant. But like you said, it can definitely still cause issues.
Yeah, I haven't had to do that lately, but I wonder if it breaks anything else along the way. So you used to have differences between things like the amount of storage allocated to a OneDrive for business under the business SKUs versus the enterprise SKUs and things like that. I think they're all at a terabyte today, so you won't run into anything like that. But you still might when you're coming over from like a kiosk SKU, like a K SKU, effectively, like that business essentials premium over to something in the E SKU. So at the end of the day, the story is like, you know, if you think you're going to use the functionality and you really need it, it might be worth that extra $8 a month retail or whatever it works out to. It's not a huge gap between those plans.
Yep. And of course, Microsoft needs to make it a little more confusing, because now there also are a few services that are actually only available in the business plans that you can't even get if you're on an enterprise plan.
Yeah.
Things like,
you want calendaring?
Bookings?
Yeah, bookings?
What? No, I kind of want bookings. No, I don't want bookings. I don't know anybody using bookings.
What are you talking about? We get Staff Hub in the eSKUs.
We do get Staff Hub, but we don't get bookings. I can't let my clients book my time, which might actually be a good thing.
Well, you know, I think you're supposed to use that new Cortana service, the calendar.help.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Nah.
Yeah. But that's a bit of a tangent.
Anyways, so back to SKUs. What about when we start jumping into those enterprise SKUs that you mentioned? What do we have available in that category of SKUs?
You've got all sorts of choices once you step up to the E-SKUs. So hopefully at this point, you're not on any of the retired SKUs. You still might be. I think some of those are still sunsetting. But you effectively have an Office 365 Pro Plus SKU. And that is pretty much going to be just desktop versions of Office, availability for mobile devices, things like that. You will get a OneDrive for that. And you can do some self-service business intelligence inside Excel because you have access to that tooling. Once you're out of that, you can go over and do an E1 SKU. So an E1 is going to give you a 50 gigabyte mailbox. It's going to give you Exchange Online, Skype. You'll get access to SharePoint Online, Teams, Yammer, all that good stuff. And that only comes with the web-based versions of Office. So you don't get any of the desktop access there. And remember, you know, that can impact things like mobile devices. Then we step up to the E3s, which is kind of, I think, just the everyone E-plan. That's going to give you access to Skype, Yammer, Teams, SharePoint, Exchange, all that good stuff. You'll also get access to the desktop versions of all those applications for Office that you need. The other thing that happens here is once you step into the E3s, your OneDrive storage goes, at least from a marketing perspective, from 1 terabyte to unlimited, which could be kind of a big deal. And you'll also pick up some DLP features and data loss prevention, some encryption, rights management, all sorts of things like that. And after that, you will go to the E5, which is as high as you can go in the E-SKUs today. So the E5s are effectively just like the E3s, but they're going to add a bunch of additional services. So you'll see things like My Analytics, which used to be branded Delve Analytics. You'll also get access to ATP, Advanced Threat Protection, and the customer lockbox that comes along with that. You'll get advanced data governance features, so like classification, labels, retention, things like that. You will also get advanced e-discovery. So going ahead and being able to do content searches across Exchange and SharePoint, all that good stuff. And ultimately, with all those add-on features, really one of the big sells is you should have way more visibility and control of your environment at the end of the day. Oh, and PSTN calling for Skype. How could I forget that?
Don't forget PSTN calling.
Yep. Just the conferencing is there, right? And then you get the cloud PBX, and then you can do the add-ons for calling if you want to.
Right. That one's one of my favorites. Again, the PSTN, the cloud PBX, it's a little confusing how that all gets licensed, because you do still need that cloud PBX to do PSTN calling. So what you do run into with a lot of these is if you go in and look at all the different services and licenses available, you can actually almost, I think, turn an E3 into an E5 or an, that's pretty much the big one. You can pretty much turn an E3 into an E5 by just buying all these different services one at a time. So if you have an E3 and you don't really care about the advanced threat protection, the data governance, some of the e-discovery stuff, you can go out and do things like just buy that cloud PBX functionality and then buy a PSTN calling plan that you still also need with an E5 to get some of that E5 functionality within your E3 without buying the whole E5 plan. What I have found, though, is if you want more than about one or two services added onto that E3, you might as well just go buy the E5 because you're going to save money or you're going to pay the exact same amount, but get some of those additional features as well.
Yeah, there's a reason they're bundled together, right? This is like going out and buying a cable plan here in the US. Yeah, no matter what, if you get the sports package, you're going to have ESPN, even if you just wanted, you know, NFL Network or something else. It's going to come with it. So it's built in, and there's definitely some value add there outside of saying, you know, I'm going to be super granular and do all these add-ons. Because what's going to happen is if you just go, even just looking at the retail pricing for add-ons, you'll immediately say you want to do PSTN calling. Well, now I've got to add a cloud PBX and that's $8. And then I've got to add at least a local PSTN calling number and that's $12. And now I've got to go and add, you know, I want to do audio conferencing too. So that's different. So let's go ahead and add another $4 for that. So now I just went up $24 and I'm basically right at the price of the E5 and I didn't get access to ATP and My Analytics and a bunch of the other stuff.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah, it's a bit of an exercise to get there and figure it out. But once you figure out where you need to be, it's not so bad, because typically you're going to be just in those SKUs doing what you need to do day to day.
And it's still so much simpler than on-premises licensing.
Well, that's one of the unique things too. So when Microsoft launched all this stuff in the way back when, you know, I used to do a lot of consulting with like on-premises SharePoint, consumers of on-prem SharePoint. And they'd come back and they'd say, well, now I need to buy not only my CALs for my servers, but I need to buy CALs for my users as well. Well, if I already licensed my users with an E3, that gives them on-prem CALs as well. So their user CAL side of things. So there's really not a lot of double dipping. So if you want to do hybrid scenarios or consumption of certain services on-premises and maybe not light up the stacks in Office 365, you'll get all that usage rights across without having to go back and do the whole weird CAL thing and figure all that out. Because one of the nice things that happens is when you get into this Office 365 land, really we're talking about applying a license to a user. So in the past, or you know, maybe in your organizations today, you're tracking licenses by device or by the CAL they're tied to or things like that. In Office 365, that really doesn't matter so much. It's really, I'm going to tie a license to a user. So let's say I'm going to assign an E3 to you, Ben. So that E3 is going to be tagged to you. It's going to come with those usage rights and those entitlements. And maybe it comes with some additional things. So where maybe I had to buy you two copies of Office in the past because you have two computers. Now I just buy you one Office 365 license, and that comes with multi-machine usage rights, right? So you get 5 installs on PCs and 10 on mobile devices. So you've got 15 installs tied just to you, which is awesome and just so much simpler, like you said.
Yeah, I've even talked to clients that have saved money by going out and buying Office 365 plans just to get those CALs for on-prem. Microsoft was pushing the Office 365 sales so hard, giving good discounts, that they just went out and bought Office 365 instead of buying their on-prem CALs because that was cheaper. And now they not only have all of that licensing for on-prem, but they also have Office 365 if they want to do hybrid, if they want to move to it at some point in time in the future. It's interesting. So if you are coming up on that time where you need to renew your licensing, take a look at Office 365. Talk to your Microsoft rep. See what kind of licensing, what kind of deals they can work out for you. It may actually be cheaper to buy those Office 365 licenses than to renew those CALs on-prem.
Yeah. If anything, the ROI on just being able to manage everything in one kind of container is nice too, right? So, you know, again, if I'm in that E3, I'm just licensing Ben. I'm not going out and getting Ben an Exchange CAL and a SharePoint CAL and whatever he needs for Skype and all the other things and a separate Office license. It's just one big license rolled into one and everything's kind of hunky-dory coming back to on-prem.
Yeah. So we kind of skipped over that education license and government license too. Those available features, we went down this licensing rabbit trail because licensing is always a rabbit trail. So this education and government are kind of interesting plans too. If you're going out looking at them, the big thing to notice is they're not a whole lot different. Education is more so than government. When you get into those government, those nonprofit plans, really it's just a different price point for the licenses. For some of these E1, E5, the business plans, they just took the plans that they offer to normal enterprises, made them available to nonprofits and government. And now you just have to go through an application process. Prove that you are a U.S. government company or prove that you're a nonprofit. The government obviously has some other hosting requirements too, where your data is going to live, where the hardware is, where the data center is, that type of things. Nonprofit is just showing that you're a nonprofit organization. With all of these, both government and education, you just go ahead, sign up for a trial, and then you can go through that application process while you're in the trial, and Microsoft will just roll that trial right over into your normal licensing once you've been approved, which I think typically they say it's 3 to 5 days, usually far less than the 30-day trial you get. Education is the one that's a little bit different. One, it has the different pricing, but they also do include some additional education features around OneNote, class notebooks in OneNote that they make available for you as a school, as an educational institution that you can take advantage of for teachers, for students, for different faculty within that organization?
Yeah, the E SKUs, the education SKUs, the EDU SKUs are really interesting. They actually offer a fully free tier there, cutting everybody in. So you can do all your students, all your faculty under just that straight education SKU, and you're pretty much all up and you're good to go. So that'll give you not desktop office, but online office, those class notebooks you talked about. You'll also get access to things like forms. So that new forms engine that they developed for education and decided not to release to anybody else because, hey, we're Microsoft, right? But then even if you look at the pricing for things to step up to an education E5, it's just a gulf of difference. And, you know, you get access to all those desktop versions, even things like My Analytics and Delve and Threat Protection and all that for, you know, retail pricing that's, you know, as low as $8 a faculty member per month, which is cheap.
Yeah, it's crazy cheap. And one thing, say what you want to about homeschoolers, people that were homeschooled. I was homeschooled. And one announcement I saw a couple months back is that Microsoft is now actually including homeschoolers, homeschool families in that education. So if you homeschool your kids, if you teach them at home, if you want to leverage Office 365 at home for school, you can now actually apply for that education plan as a homeschool family and get approved for it and get that, use it at home as you're teaching your kids, doing whatever around the house.
Oh, that's pretty sweet. I didn't hear about that one.
It is. I'll find the blog post about it. We'll throw it out in the show notes if you want to go read about it. There's a couple different ways you can validate. There's a company called Homeschool Legal Defense. You can get an ID from them if you're a part of that that you can use to validate. And there was one other way. I can't remember what it is, but we'll throw all that out in the show notes for you.
Gotcha. Yeah, you'll have validation for all these. So if you're an NFP, a not-for-profit, you know, you've got to go down a certain path with sales and everything to make sure that your organization is where you need to be. So let's see. So we talked about consumer, we talked about business, we talked about enterprise, we covered education, nonprofits, government. Kiosks would be kind of the last one, right? All those good old K SKUs. There are enterprise SKUs, E SKUs, that go a step further. So rather than having an E3 or an E5, I could have an enterprise K1. And that's effectively kind of sort of like an E3-ish with a little bit less. So no desktop office, online only versions. And they've recently opened that up a little bit as well. So in the past, they didn't have access to things like a OneDrive or some of the Skype for Business stuff. So now they've got that fully expanded and those kiosk users have 2 gigs of cloud storage. They don't get that unlimited whole 1 terabyte thing. You know, they're just getting a 2 gigs, but they can get into things like Office 365 video, Teams, Skype, and even Power Apps and Flow now.
Very nice. And I know one other thing I wanted to mention, primarily because I've run into it before, I've had people ask questions about this, is we've covered all of these bundles of services, the business bundles, the enterprise bundles. You don't have to even license in the bundles. You also can go in and buy some of these services as one-offs. SharePoint Online, Exchange Online, Skype for Business. They have different plans within their licensing. So for instance, I have my enterprise plan. I have an E5 that I use for my business account. I also have a personal email account. A while ago when Outlook.com got rid of using custom domains, I actually just went out and bought an Exchange Online license, added it to my tenant, and added that personal email address. So it's an @benstejink.com email address. I pay $4 or $5 a month, and I just have email licensed for that particular user. So if you do have some users too that maybe they only need email or they only need to go into SharePoint, you don't have to buy an e-plan or one of the business plans for them. You can go in and buy just a SharePoint license or just an Exchange license and apply that license to that user so they can do that one or two tasks that they need to do.
Yeah, not even users, but data as well, right? So in Exchange Online, say you're in E3, E5, and a user leaves and you want to archive that mailbox. Well, to really do that, you'd have to keep their license around forever. And it's not great to spend, you know, $20, $35 a month on a user that's not in your organization anymore. But one of the things that you can do is convert that mailbox to a shared mailbox and then just apply one of those exchange licenses to it so you can retain archive features. Maybe you want to have access to litigation holds, things like that, at a much lower cost to be able to maintain that stuff and bring it all through. So you can mix, match, push things around, put it to wherever it needs to be. I think one of the other things that people should become familiar with or at least know about is the service descriptions. So if you go to office365sde.com, that'll teach you everything about every piece of the stack. So what I can do in the service descriptions is I can do something like, let me go look at SharePoint Online and specifically OneDrive for Business, and it'll break everything down to me in a table. So across OneDrive for Business in, you know, the various eSKUs and the and education and government and all those things, here's all the feature availability of every little sub item, whether it's like share an item, how much storage I get, access to analytics, audit features, all those kinds of things. So you can go in and that's the service description is Microsoft's contract with you, really, for the services that they've released. So you can go in there at any time and view and say, yep, here's where we are. Here's what recoverability looks like. Here's how they do DR for SharePoint sites. Here's how they do it for Exchange mailboxes, all those good kind of things. It's just sitting right there waiting for you.
Yeah, those service descriptions can be huge. I won't lie, they can be a little overwhelming when you first look at them, but when you're planning out plans, licenses, what you need for the different users, those service descriptions that Microsoft put together, they're really good. They're gold. They'll give you exactly what you need to buy based on what features you're looking for.
Yep. I think that's a pretty good overview, no?
I think so. Last thing, I promise, I wanted to call out primarily because I hit this before, and it's kind of bizarre, is some of the add-ons you have. You have so much storage in particular that's a part of Office 365 and SharePoint Online specifically. If you want to buy more, you can buy more storage at like 20 cents per gigabyte. But what I found inadvertently is that storage is actually tied to a license, not to your tenant. So I had an E3 license. I had added a little bit of storage to it, a couple of gigs. I wanted to switch to an E5 and I wanted to cancel off my E3. What I found is I couldn't cancel off E3 without canceling my storage first. And there was no way to move that storage add-on from an E3 to an E5. I actually had to go out, buy additional storage to tie to my E5, cancel the storage that was associated with my E3, and then I could cancel the E3 account. I couldn't just move that storage from one to another. That was a while ago. I don't know if they've changed it.
I can tell that you are not a volume license customer.
Yeah, I know. I don't have like 10 terabytes of storage due to all my users.
All right. What else?
All right. So I think we're getting close to our 30 minutes. So we'll go ahead and wrap it up for today.
Awesome. Thanks, Ben.
Not a problem. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day and we will talk to you next week.
Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye. If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.